I was thinking, how old is Ellie now? 19. She was 9 years old when we came here. And I was reflecting upon the fact that the joy of being around the ministry is seeing individuals grow up. And what a blessing that is. How old are you now, Ann? 17. You were 7 years old when I came. And so we're rejoicing that. And another thing, stick around, is a little bit more sorrowful. You see individuals that were in fairly good health, and guess what? We get older, and some go to be with the Lord. And we rejoice in that. Thomas Hamilton, is Thomas here? He might have helped gone to help with the children's church. But Thomas Jr. was in for a pretty severe operation as far as his chest is concerned. And there's going to be recouping for quite a long period of time. He'll be out of sports for a number of months. But it was a surgery they've been looking at for many, many, many years. So you remember to pray for them if you would, please. I reflect also upon the fact this too, and that is reflect upon the day the Declaration of Independence was signed. And I'm glad that 60 years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ signed my Declaration of Independence. And I am so glad that I do not only am I saved from many of the difficulties of life, but I am saved and liberated from hell. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
And so the greatest liberty that one has is in the Lord Jesus Christ. When those men signed the Declaration of Independence, they submitted their fortunes, their homes, their families, and their very lives. And when we get saved, that's what we should be willing to surrender as well. Amen? And so we rejoice in that. And we realize there was a great cost before that declaration was signed. Many lives were taken. Many lives were given up for the cause or for the sake of freedom. There's only one life that had to be taken for our freedom. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. But there are battles and will be battles until the end of time when men cry out peace and safety. The word of God says, then come a sudden destruction. And this world is in chaos, and we see so many things that are happening. Western Europe is engulfed in basically agnosticism or atheism. Churches are closing. Those churches that would once they flourishing are now restaurants and temples to Muhammad, and no longer the places they used to be. And some of that is happening in America as well. And we as a people, if we call upon his name, humble ourselves, call upon his name, and turn from our wicked ways and seek his face, the Lord has promised that he'd forgive our sins, he'd heal our land, he'd hear us. And we're in a position of blessing right at this time. If we would have had the wrong president, and I say this, whether it be Democrat or Republican, but in this particular instance, we are conservative because we're Christians. We and conservatives believe in a fixed constitution, not a living constitution that is changed according to man's dictates. And we believe that the truth is found in the origin in which the Constitution was written, and for the direct purposes. And so I thank God for our Constitution. The greatest Constitution has ever been written is the Constitution of the United States of America, because it was written with the Word of God in mind. And so that is why we have been a blessed country. But even as Israel, when they begin to turn their back on the Lord, God sent judgment upon them. God still continued to allow a remnant to flourish. I love that expression, the sheer mercies of David. And that is, even though there were some wicked kings in Judah, God, because of David, blessed the nation of Israel. And I believe today the reason that we are being blessed, we're living on the past blessing of our forefathers. Wouldn't you say that? Isn't that true? It's not because America is such a great Christian nation today, although still we're probably one of the strongest, if not the strongest Christian nation. We are living on past blessing. It's time we start living on blessing that we have laid down because of our obedience to the Word of God, Deuteronomy 28. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians. We're continuing in the realm of spiritual warfare. And we've already focused our attention on the responsibility to stand in warfare, to stand in honor and obedience to our King, and that is the King of Glory. We are to stand in loyalty to our country, and that is heaven. And Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob, the Word of God says that they realized they were strangers and pilgrims on earth, for they say such things are plain that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they had come out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country. Amen, don't you? That is heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Praise the Lord for his goodness. And responsibility is to stand in honor and obedience to our King, loyalty to our country, which is heaven. And then we stand for the sake of all mankind, saved and unsaved, that others might come to a saving knowledge of Christ, and that believers might be strengthened and gain victory through Christ. And then we not only looked at our responsibility, but our reliance is upon the Lord in taking a stand. And we find strength in him. Even the verse that we have this week in our bulletin is just a magnificent verse, but so many wonderful verses. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, we're starting there. The Word of God says, finally, brethren, completing the book. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And that is how we face the difficulties of life, in the strength of the Lord, not in our own strength, in his ability, not ours. And so there's a strategy we find in Scripture for taking a stand, and that is, first of all, we take a stand according to the Word of God. We submit to the authority of the Word. Amen. And not only do we submit to the authority of the Word, but as well, we have a responsibility to submit ourselves to church leadership, to civil authority, to job authority, to legal authority. And then we stand learning to say no to sin. We stand by not giving ourselves an open door to sin. Make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And we stand not giving our flesh over to the responses, natural responses of the flesh. We stand fleeing from the personal weak areas of our lives. And everyone has them. Satan knows where those things are. And there is a time to stand and do battle, and there's a time to flee, and the times of fleeing is when we realize that this is a weak area of our lives. And so the Lord has told us specifically, he said, well, you don't retreat, yet there are times to retreat. There are times to flee. And the Word of God says we're to flee idolatry, and we are to flee youthful lusts. And so God tells us that there are things that we should flee. And then we stand as well by keeping our pride in check, which is the mother of all sin. And now we enter into this area. And what I don't want us to do is this. I do not want us to fear this section as far as when we look into the power of Satan. Because, finish the verse, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But this is my concern. My concern is that you don't realize, or most Christians don't realize, that every day that you get up, Satan's goal is to defeat you and even destroy you, if at all possible. And so the Word of God says, first of all, this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand, but I don't want you to stand in your own strength, verse 10 says. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I want us to look at one word here as we enter into this. And this really compelled me to do a study. And so when I went into this section of Scripture which says the wiles of the devil, interesting word is found here. And the word is methodia. Sound familiar to some word in the English? The wiles of the devil. Yeah, someone who said that, method. And basically the idea of the word in itself in this particular setting is this, and that is his craft or his deceit. And so the Word of God says, stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, we're told to stand. We're told to stand with the armor of God. We're told to stand in the strength of the Lord. And then the Word of God tells us why we're to stand. Because the Word of God says that you may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. Now, there are the wiles, the tactical plans or schemes. And not only that, but the Word of God says that we are to take on the whole armor of God in verse 13, that we may be able to stand in the evil day. The evil day is the day when Satan greatly assaults you. And by the way, every day he's trying to assault you. But there are certain times that he is an all-out campaign to destroy you. And so we realize this, that our enemy is not flesh and blood, but he is a supernatural spiritual entity. He has great power, great strength, and has the ability to destroy us as Christians. And then I said, okay, there's another verse that I know of that is interesting, and it has the same idea. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of read you the two verses so that we can get through as much scripture as we can. But write the text down if you would, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. And the Word of God in verse 11, and then I'm going to go back to verse 10. I'll start out with verse 10. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. And then this interesting phrase here. For we are not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant of his devices. And when I saw that and I was reading through Scripture, and the one thing I wish they would have taught me at Bob Jones University when I was there or someplace, I wish they would have taught me, when you enter into the ministry, Satan loves brass buttons. He would love more than anything to destroy me personally. Or he would love to destroy another one of our pastoral staff members. Or he would love to destroy our deacons and our leadership. Or he'd like to destroy our teachers. And as I saw this, for we are not unaware of his devices. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful if they would have told me some of the battles that I was face as a Christian, even entering the ministry? So my determination was this, and I've redone this whole section as far as spiritual warfare is concerned. I wish I would have taken a course on spiritual warfare to know what was going to happen and to know the battles that I would be going through and what to do when I went through these battles and sometimes when I failed the battles. Sometime I had to be put in an infirmary and I had to heal. And so I wish I would have known about the other area. I wish we would have had a whole course in. I wish we had a whole course in the area of prayer. Just take E.M. Bounds' book and the scripture and go through prayer as far as how to really pray and develop a personal prayer life. And I know that's a concern of many. Average Christian on average only prays about 3 minutes a day, if that. And that may be just during the meals. And that's it. And so the Word of God says, I want you to stand in my power. You can't stand in His power if you're not in prayer. You just can't do it. You can't stand in His power without being in the Word of God. Because the only weapon that you have is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I was saying to myself, as I read this scripture, we're not unaware of His devices. And I said to myself, well, I'm not so sure that I'm aware of His devices. I guess there must be something in the Word, some devices in the Word of God that I need to know about. What are those devices He uses to try to destroy you and me as Christians? And as I went into this, I was amazed. I began to look up all the scripture with demons and the devil and all of that. And I came up with 10 key tactical plans or devices that Satan uses to destroy people and to discourage others as well. The first is this, and we find it in that portion of Scripture. That's why I didn't read you verse 10 first of all. The Word of God starts out by saying this. After it says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. And when you get an advantage, you're ready to defeat somebody. For we are not ignorant of his devices. In essence, I've given you the whole roadmap as far as your enemy is concerned. And if you read, you'll find out what he does to destroy you. And I found the first one in here, and boy, is it powerful. It may seem simple, but let me tell you something. In this particular context, in verse 10, this is what it says. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. The first thing is this, demonic offensive. Demonic offensive. What is it talking about as far as one of his devices is concerned? The Word of God says, is focuses attention on an unforgiving spirit. I ask you today, is there someone that you have not forgiven? You may not know this, but you are being held captive by Satan, and you will not grow as a Christian. You will not have the blessing of God upon your life as a Christian. Forgive even as you have been forgiven. That's what the Word of God has to say. And let's just do this. Now, let's turn over and see how important this area of forgiveness is. Forgiveness is the key to your prayer life. Turn over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Greatest sermon ever preached was a Sermon on the Mount, because it was preached by the greatest teacher that ever lived, and that is, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this sixth chapter, we go into the model prayer. I don't call it the Lord's Prayer. I know we have a song called the Lord's Prayer. But the Lord's Prayer is John 17. This is the model prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our what? It's interesting, another portion of Scripture, forgive us our trespasses, and we forgive those who trespass against us. But what are we doing when we refuse to forgive someone? We're holding them in debt to us. We're holding them in debt to us. But lead us and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And what's the next word? Amen. This is done a number of times in Scripture. Amen is so be it, period. And so we put a period there. But whenever anything is mentioned, that reemphasizes something. There's something very special there that is the key to this whole prayer. Amen. And then the Word of God says, "For if ye forgive men, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Amen. But the key is, you have no prayer life if you have not forgiveness. Understand that? You're wondering, why don't I have a prayer life? If you have from forgiveness, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the what? The Word of God says, forgiveness is the key to the prayer life. It will destroy your effectiveness in the Lord. It will destroy your ability to read the Word of God. Because there's something between you, if you're a Christian, and your Savior. The first device is his demonic offensive. And he's going to come along and say, "You ought not to forgive that person. They did you wrong. You deserve to hate them. You deserve to pray that God's judgment comes upon him." And the fact of the matter is, you haven't forgiven. That's what your problem is. And Satan's got you wrapped around his finger because you refuse to forgive. You're holding that thing. I want to be forgiven, don't you? But God says, if I don't forgive, then I'm not going to be forgiven. Now, that doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean I'm going to hell. Because when Christ died, he died for my past sin, present sins, and future sins. Amen? And I'm not going to be judged in that sense of the word, but I'm going to be judged on this earth as far as the blessing of God on my life. And the most important thing you and I have is the blessing of God upon our lives. The greatest thing you could do is get right with God and forgive. And Jesus Christ speaks all about that in this great sermon. Ye have heard it has been said that thou shalt love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's what Satan wants you to do. Just hate the enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. What? Bless them that curse you? That's what David did to Shimei, didn't he? Pray for them that despitefully use them and persecute you. Did you have to put that in the word? You mean I have to forgive that person? You mean I have to pray for that person? That's what the Bible says. Doesn't it? That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? And so, an unforgiving spirit. And then as far as his demonic offensive, there's a number of things, and that is temptations of the mind and of the flesh. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, and 1 Corinthians 10, 27, he steals away the planted word from hearts of both believer and unbeliever. The parable of the sower. When Jesus Christ, Satan comes along as a dirty bird and snatches the word out. And what happens is you young people, when you go to camp, sometimes, and I believe in camp decisions, by the way, I believe they can be continued, but it's hard. You go to camp, No television. I don't know what they do at the Wilds or some of these other camps, but do they remove the electronic devices? It's been such a long time since I've been there. It would be good if they move the electronic devices and they remove any hindrance. And so you're hearing a powerful preacher preaching the Word of God, and to see hundreds of teenagers go forth, and you're saying, why isn't God working in my life? And all of a sudden you say, I want you to work in my life. And the next sermon that is preached, you walk down an aisle with tears in your eyes. Did you mean it? Yes, you'd meant it. But you're not home yet. And you go home. And you go back to TV. And you go back to friends. And you go back to the sinful habits of the world. And it's almost like you never made a decision. Why? Because Satan comes in and steals away the word that crushed your heart and brought you to tears and changed your life direction as far as your goals were concerned. But you came back home to the battlefield. You were in a place where you were on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. But you came down to the valley where people were dancing around the calf naked and drunk. And that's the real world. It's easy to make a decision when everything is confined and all the influences of the world, as much as possible, are removed. Well, when you go back home, some have their parents, they made goal, I'm not going to watch things. And they go home and their parents watch those things. They turn on TV with half-naked people and profanity and drunkenness. And that kid says, my parents are doing it. They're Christians. They attend church. Must be okay. Oh, God, help us to understand what full dedication is. And you may make a decision, but as soon as you head out those doors, Satan's going to do everything he can to snatch away the word and to relieve you. Oh, that, I was just emotional. I realized that was a need in my life, but, you know, everybody else is living this way. He snatches the word away as a demonic offensive. And then, not only that, he steals the planted word from our hearts. He blinds the eyes of those who believe not. And 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this world hath blinded the eyes of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. He, in Revelation 2:10, this is interesting and is offensive, and the devil shall cast some of you into prison. Do you know that Satan has as one of his offensive tactics to shut your mouth and close down your ministry, putting you in jail? He did that to Adoniram Judson. Lifted from the ceiling on a chain where the room was so small, his head rested upon the floor. He couldn't get comfortable in beating him with chains, and eventually he was let go. But if it weren't for the angel Ananias, that his wife became a dear friend of the governess of that community and allowed her to come in and to bring him some food and to bring him encouragement and encourage him to stand. Well, that dear lady, by the time he got out of that jail, his wife, he went home to a dead wife. And he asked to go to another province, and he said, could I have special papers after he was released to go into province? And they said, no. And he said, why no? And he said, it's not that I am afraid of your gospel. It's not afraid of what you're going to preach. But I'm afraid when the people see the chain marks and the beating and the stories of how you stood up, I'm afraid that they'll believe that. He cast Paul, part of Paul's being cast into prison, I believe that was probably, could have been satanic. We know this, that he orchestrates betrayal. Judas concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in John 13:2. He destroys the believer's faith. 1 Thessalonians 3:5 and Galatians 4:11. He controls disobedient believers. 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach in meekness, instructing those that oppose or contradict themselves. Peradventure, they will give themselves over to the knowledge of the truth, who are held captive by Satan to do his will. And I'll close with this. He wants to snuff out the light. And we'll see this as we look into those three words. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. That is leadership and organization. He has his leader figures. You'll see this in Daniel chapter 10. The prince of Persia, the prince of Grecia, he rules nations by people. And that is exactly what's going to happen with Antichrist. He's going to rule the world through the power of Satan. That's just not a first time thing. Because the word of God says that he stood against the prince Michael, who is an angel, a spiritual being. The prince of Grecia and prince of Persia were satanic beings that were ruling nations through certain leadership. You want to know why Greece and Persia became the strongest nations in the world of their time? Because they had the power of Satan behind them. That's why. And one day, this whole world is going to have a leader called Antichrist. And he's going to rule the world. He will rule the world. So principalities, he has a hierarchy, just as God does. And then he has organization. He is highly organized. He knows more about you than anybody else on the face of this earth other than God himself. Powers, and that is authority. He is the God of this world. He is the prince of the power of the air that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And then the word of God says, against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. Satan has as his realm spiritual darkness. Men love what? Darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And in Ephesians, if you read this, the word of God says that we are to walk in what? Light. Satan's goal is to get you to walk in, and many Christians are walking in darkness. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And that is, you are to be a light bearer. I love the way the Apostle Paul put it. And that is, he put it this way. Now, listen, folks. In Philippians chapter 2, it goes through five things. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it went on to say this, that we be luminaries. That is not speaking about a little candle that is in a clay pot with a little wick that is giving light to the room. That word is used as a flaming torch. Amen. A torch. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And that is, so many are walking in darkness because they're not walking in obedience. And Satan has as his goal to get you to walk in what? Darkness. You say, can he do it to Christians? You bet your bottom dollar he can do it to Christians. When he goes through the list of things that Christ shares his nature with us, He goes on to say, if these things be in you, those virtues be in you, and abound, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. But any man that does not have these things, he is blind and cannot see afar off. And this is the pity, and that is the pity. We don't realize that every day that you get up, you stand against the forces of evil, and many act like Satan doesn't exist, number one, and number two, that they can make all the decisions of life they want to make themselves. Don't care. Well, I'm doing fine. You either don't believe in the existence of Satan and you don't know. And man, I tell you what, because he's always in the shadows. He's always in the shadow. Oh, he's not going to show him. Oh, he may show himself as an angel of light at times. But he's the father of darkness. And you know that he's got you when you don't go into the Word of God. The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want to get some more light? Get into the Word. Get into the Word. And the reason so many Christians are walking in darkness is they're not living in the light of the Word of God. And I'm not saying this to beat up on anybody. I'm making this as a cry of my soul. And that is, do you love the Word of God? Are you continually before the light? Well, I just come on Sunday morning. That's enough light for me. I hope that people get a hungry soul so that they want to have as much light as they can possibly get. And the Word of God is the light. A lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Amen? Amen? This is what God wants. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. Demonic, offensive, unforgiving spirit, giving in to the temptations of our mind and of our flesh, stealing away the word planted in our heart, blinding the eyes of the unsaved, casting believers into prison, orchestrating betrayal one believer to another, maybe even a betrayal to Christ, destroying the believer's faith, and controlling disobedient believers. Can I just ask you, is there any person here today that when we hurt this first demonic offensive, you say, listen, to be honest, there's someone that I'm having a real problem with forgiving. I didn't know how important it was, but maybe this is the reason I haven't been had the joy to be into the Word and haven't felt like praying. And the Lord is telling you today, listen, get this thing right so that you can have fellowship with me. Would you just raise your hand and say, pray for me. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Hey, listen. That's where it all starts. Until you forgive, don't expect to have that special relationship with the Lord in prayer, in the Word. Any others, real quickly. Forgiving. And then, how many would say, you know something? My problem is that I'm not getting enough light. I'm not in the Word of God enough. And I need to get into the Word and get a lot more light than what I've got, because that is what is going to dispel the kingdom of darkness. Pray for me. Would you just raise your hand and say, I need to be in the Word. Be honest. You're not in the Word, you should be. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Everyone standing at your feet, if you would, please. 496, I surrender all. There's some here that you came to the service and you're not saved. You need to be saved. You've been resisting the light of salvation. And today I hope the Lord, and I pray the Lord, and many Christians are praying that those individuals here who may not be saved will come forward today and get to know the light Jesus is the light of the world. Until you have Jesus, you don't have light. All you have is darkness. Come to Jesus today. Men and women, we'll show you in the Word of God how you can be saved. Believer, we've talked about a number of things. There's some here today that you've given into temptation because Satan isn't real and you're living under the power of the flesh. You're not standing in the strength of the Lord. You're standing in your own strength and you wonder why you're failing. There are others who have been under preaching and under the conviction of the Word, but the world's influence is so strong that you put aside the godly living that He's called you to. Are you willing to go to prison for the Lord, to die for Him? Is your faith being destroyed by Him? He can do it. Diminish your faith. And so at this time, whatever decision you need to make, if the Lord is dealing with your heart and you say, you know something, there's some things that I need to change in my life, things I need to get fixed. And at the beginning of this invitation, would you come? If you've never followed the Lord and believers' baptism, you need to do it because Christ commands it. You need to do that, not for salvation, but as a testimony of the fact you're not ashamed of the Lord. Others, you may say, you know something, I'd like to join with that church. And if you're saved, we'd love to have you join with us. And so at this invitation time, we ask you, if the Lord has done a work in your heart and you feel the need to come forward and get with Him and say, Lord, I don't care what man thinks. I know I want to get close to You. And I'm going to change some things in my life. God, may You help him to do it. As we sing the invitation hymn, we invite you to come.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. Surrender all.
Amen. We're going to continue on and there are 10 things, and this first one is probably the longest of all of them. We're going to handle just a number of errors pretty rapidly, but I believe that there are 10 devices, 10 categories of Satan devices, and they're in the Word of God. And the power that he has, you're going to find out that he's a mighty powerful individual. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's what we have to realize. And wait until we get into finding out what we have as far as the Lord is concerned, the help that we receive from the Lord. That's going to be exciting too, to see the fact that we've got all heaven on our side. All heaven. And so let's not live in defeat. Let's realize how powerful he is and resist him through the strength of the Lord. Amen. Resist him through the strength of the Lord. All right, at this time, I'm going to ask Matt, would you come and close the service with a word of prayer? He's one of our deacons. I love this man. I love his family. Thank God for your testimony.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the day before us. We're thankful for the word of God that's been preached. Lord, I pray that we would put all of our faith and our trust in Thee. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be faithful in putting on the whole armor of God, that in the end time we may be found standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Go before us as we leave this place. Bring us back again tonight. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.